My telzer tight makes me pick up from where we were last year, even though Betzim it's been the 12 months. So just to pick up where we're holding the rush. So Islam Adal, Tovi Yosha L'chol Lahamit Be'inecha Pulersecha HaTovim U'lahagdol Be'inecha P'shrecha. It's appropriate to minimize in your eyes the positive actions that you've done, and to increase in your eyes the significance of you, what you've done improperly. And the same time, to recognize the inverse will be the more you recognize your limitations, the Rosh is saying, the more you recognize the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Rukhatskal Sarnan is a unim says that the result of this process will be that you will naturally not be Almanasa Kaba Pras. You won't do it Almanasa Kaba Pras because you're not expecting anything, considering the fact that you already recognized the limits of your avoid on the one hand, and the accomplishments of the Chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the other hand. So your natural response will be that. So that's what the Rosh says. So just to be the touch on the few points over here. So the result, not being mishamish, amanasa kapuras is understood to be ava. The Moral talks about that. That's the nekud of avodas Hashem ava. For some reason or other, the nature of our reality is when a person's memayit pulasecha toivim and he's magdal benecha psherecha, the result isn't ava. The result is a feeling of yira. I'm so worthless. So I just feel this sense of or depression, which is the next step after that. The worthlessness which comes to depression. We don't get this feeling, the tremendous feeling of a karsa toiv and ava to Kadosh Baruch Hu, which the Reb Katzkel is saying, and that's the natural reaction is going to be this feeling of a karsa toiv and ava Hashem. So Revolver writes in Al Shirk Ele Beis, he says that the Vel talks, it likes to talk about that there's different shitas in Musar. There's the Blodka Mahalach of Musar of Godless Adam. There's the Navardika Mahalach of Musar, which is the Nidrakite of a mensch, etc. So there's no such thing. There's no such thing as shitas in Musar. The way I say it is, you know, the Navardika Mahalach, that a person is clearly lowering himself in the eyes of people, etc. Unless a person has a tremendous positive understanding of his significance, after a few weeks he's going to commit suicide. He's going to internalize if Taka ben a garnished, and I'm such a garnished that what am I doing here? Like I'm. It's after a person has come to a clear akara of the godless of them and the role that he plays in the Bria, there's a tendency to maybe over stress your value. Okay, so you need to balance it with the recognizing of the chesroidness of a person. But without the balance, all of avodas Musar is to find that balance. I once saw Nusach, if you put all of the midas, if you take all of the midas and you give them a letter in the alphabet, the goal in life is to be alphabet soup. You need to have every mida. You need to have the ability to use the midas at the appropriate time. They once asked the Rishon Rav to describe Reb Chaim. Like, you know, like, was he a warm person, not a warm person? Like, so you said Reb Chaim was the person that the Russian wanted to be at every moment. That's what he was. He was able to use each mida at the appropriate time. The Rishi one time said over from the Telzer Rav said that the most important mida is the mida of Seder. I'm a Telzer, right? The most important mida is the mida of Seder, because Seder means the ability to be in control and use the proper mida at the right time. But you have to have every mida. You can't have the mida of just ich bin a garnish, and that's it. You can't have that. So if the person has to, the assuming that the person understands the significance of who he is, and the Russia made him his that way, and all of the way he comes, that is something of significant value. I was talking this over with the chaver of mine, who's also a therapist. He says, you know, the person has to understand that with all my chesroidness, the Russia made me that way, and the Russia, you know, knows what he's doing. He says, there's a saying in Alcoholics Anonymous that says, God doesn't make junk. with all your concerns, you're still of significant value. That's also, yes, I recognize my concerns. And the tendency, I think, obviously, in that group is more to look it down on themselves if they feel bad about they're not getting their life together. They look at themselves as junk. God doesn't make junk. So the havana of the cheshivas of the person. If that's my Havana, and then I look from that vantage point, I look at, you know, there's so much I could accomplish, I want to accomplish, I didn't accomplish, and I wish I would do more, and I see from that vantage point of the Bershom's love and chesed and how much he takes care of me, so the reaction is going to be Ava. It's not going to be Dikoyan, it's not going to be Yiyush and depression. But if a person doesn't have that, just talking into the world of Chinuch, I've had this, I mentioned this idea before, like, the Shiva used to tell us all the time, he says, you know, that you have to look at yourself as the elite of Klal Yisrael. You're B'nai Torah, sitting and learning Torah. So you go back 40 years ago, when I heard that memra, it wasn't so hard to think like that. There, how many people in Klal Yisrael were learning Torah? I mentioned that there used to be this event for those people who grew up in the Tri-State area. Used to be Pesach and Sukkot, Chol HaMoed. They used to have a Kinnus B'nai Torah. In the good of Israel of 40th Avenue, Olam HaShalom. Right? What? All right, so they had this big hall, and you could put 1,000 people into that room. And Rabbi Yaakov came to speak, and Rabbi Moshe came to speak, and Gifta one time came to speak, etc. And it was a fascinating thing that I'm in this room, and I knew, come on, every person in the room by name. The guys in Philly, the guys in the Lakewood, the guys in town. Like, we knew each other. That was the B'nai Torah of the Tri-State area, was 1,000 people. So of course you're the elite of Klal Yisrael. Nowadays it's 100,000, you know, I don't know. So yeshiva used to say that, you know, the fact that you understand that the schus that you're in yeshiva, that you're learning Torah, is a tremendous thing. The fact that your parents played that role means they were the shulchan HaKadosh Baruch Hu to allow you to do that. You have to never forget that. You know, the telzer element was the yeshiva used to convey us to wear ties. All the bachurim were supposed to wear ties. Why? He says, in those days, a business person, you know, anybody in cheshivas wore a tie. So you're not any less chashuv than any of them. You're the most chashuv people in Klal Yisrael. Of course you have to wear a tie. You have to go looking appropriately. You have to respect yourself for who you are. Okay, nowadays, I don't necessarily just tell a guy to wear a tie. That's, you know, nowadays, you know, you could have the most chashuv businessman walks around like wearing, you know, casual. But that musig of cheshivas that we need to be machshuv and give over to our Talmidim, the Cheshivas, what they're doing, and they look around, well, you know, it's not, there's another million of that people doing the same thing as me, so what makes me special, what makes me, so that in the Kudah, we don't measure ourselves against somebody else, that each person is Chashav and is significant. So I once heard from Reb Huttner Zatzal. Reb Huttner said, he says, I had this interesting. I took a public speaking course with Rabbi Shulman back in 1982. I was close to Rabbi for a different reason. Anyway, I used to go to his house for Yom Tov also. So he came back to Cleveland for a visit, and I just become a Rebbe. So I asked him, like, was a 10th grade Rebbe. He says, what recommendations do you have to be a good 10th grade Rebbe? So he looked at me. He said, okay, I'm giving you homework. We'll talk tomorrow. He says, I want you to think of the following. If you would have no limitation or time or money, what were 10 or 15 things you would like to do to become the best Rebbe you could become? What would you like? He says, give me 10 or 12 of those. I actually came up with 15. And we'll talk tomorrow how you can take those and make those into reality. So, but right now, I want you to dream. Right? So I sat down with my, you know, I wish I knew all these Swarim, and I wish, you know, again, you can dream. You can write whatever you want, right? I wish I'd go to Eretz Yisrael and talk to Revolba and get his advice. I wish I would hear from Gedolim. If I'd have to give across to my Talmidim one message of Ashkafa that they should walk away with at the end of the year, what would that be? I would like to have access to the Gedolim to get that answer. I made a list of them, different things. So I came up with a list, and I says, okay, now take a notebook and make it the 15 sections. Is it 15? Right? 15 sections. So write that in the beginning of each section, write that down. each Motzei Shabbos, take it out and ask yourself, what can you do this week to make this into reality? And you'll realize that these things, which are only dreams, that sometimes can actually be made into reality. But the more you have it on your minds, when the opportunity presents itself, you'll take advantage of it. So one of these questions was that one Ashkafa. So I made that my, once it was on my mind, whenever I would meet an Adam Gadol, I would ask him that question. So some of them gave me the standard answer, the Cheshivas of learning Torah, right? But I spoke to one of Hutner's Talmidim. He says that the Yeshiva used to say that the message that our generation needs to hear is Goyin Yaakov. The Hashkafa that our generation needs to hear is Goyin Yaakov. That there's a Ga'ava of being part of Klal Yisrael. That's the message that our generation needs to hear. That was what Rav Hutner Zatzal said. And so what I did with my Talmidim in the 10th grade, what I did with them is I said, Shabbos afternoon after Mincha, says Rav Goy Sai, we're gonna make a session to talk about whatever you want. Give me questions beforehand, and I'm going to throw in some things myself also. We're going to talk Hashkafa. That's one thing I did. The second thing I did was, one of the advantages of teaching in the Masifta like that is, the Rosh Hashanah never came in and sat in my chair and watched what I was doing. They sort of trusted you. So I don't know what standard yeshivish or not, but I used to have Remendel Kaplan. I used to have Musar commercials. I used to call it a Musar commercial in the middle of the year. So I introduced it. I says, "Okay, Rabbi Yisai, and now for a word from our sponsor." Right, and I would say once in a while, just another shiur. I would say, it was a good pause. I would throw out an interesting Musar Hashkafa. But one of the things in which I stressed over the year was this Likud of Goyin Yaakov. I heard this idea; it resonated with me very much. And it was very hard. You look at the Bachurim of the shiur. They gave me this supposedly homogenous shiur. Right, I had a Bachur who was learning with Baruch Beres for Seder on his own, and getting them right. I remember I walked up to the book, he was learning Rebbe Bear, which I hadn't spoken out. So I said, "Okay, he said it over right." And I couldn't read. So how's the guy supposed to feel good about himself? When there's another guy doing Rebbe Bear's for Seder. So you keep stressing that I used to tell the Bachur, says, "Don't chepper with him." It says, "One day he's going to be very successful businessman and you're going to work for him." So cheppernished. That's what happened. And he's talking very chosher ben taro. But sometimes with a private conversation and public conversation, but that balance was very hard. But then that nakuda that we need to stress to ourselves and to our Talmidim, that the Bersha made you, he made you that way, he knows what he's doing, he loves you the way you are, he has a special plan for you, and you're very chashuv in his eyes. I mean, that nakuda, if you bang it in, you bang it in, you bang it in. So, yeah, see, you're not perfect. The only the Bar Olam is perfect. We all are deficient in every single way. The Bershom was perfect. We're not perfect. We're not supposed to be perfect. We're exactly where the Bershom made us. Just one last thought. It's a little bit different than Tanach, but the Rebbetzin who made me Frum, who was Nifter this year, Rebbetzin Tzurich Tekatz, and a woman in Cheshuvah Adam, I can't give you over words to describe who she was. But one thing which was fascinating to me, I could never, when I would call her, she had multiple illnesses and multiple issues, health issues for years. Rabbit said, "How are you?" The way the Russian wants me to be. That was always the answer. So by the Shiva, when I went to Menachem Oval, so I mentioned this, she says, the kids said to me, "You know what? We had no idea how our mother was doing." Because she gave us the same answer also. The only way we would know is if we happened to be in the room when the doctor came in. To the doctor, she would say exactly what was going on. Because that she needed to discuss. But the way Russia wants me to be, that's the way I am. So the same way that's true in the physical sense, that's the way it's true in every other sense. The Russia made me with, that I'm a very bouncy kid. There was two brothers that I knew, one of them, his nickname could have been glue. You put him down by the seats, barking like that. They're like, put him down by the seat and the girl's like this for like 18 hours straight, just back and forth, like learning up like 14 mesectas in one day. And his brother was expelled from multiple yeshivas for, cutting class, going out to the park and, fighting with the goyim, They're both chashuv accomplished to me to chachamim nowadays. This guy's still going like this, and this guy, meanwhile, is a phenomenally very powerful individual who's changed many, many people's lives. But while he was a high school kid, it was horrible. You know, that those kaitis, which made him the very effective Rebbe, Makariv, and the Talmud Chacham that he is nowadays, was working against him when he was in high school. But if he defined himself by that little slice of life, he would have been depressed. But you don't define yourself by a little slice of life. We live in this little slice of life which favors a certain type of being. That's what a Bacher sees. School favors a certain type of kid. That means that you're wonderful. School doesn't favor you. All your kaiches, whatever it is, with all those type of kids, they need to hear something. They need to in the girls' school, so they have outlets. They have chesed. They have all different things. In a boys' school, they learn. And when you have free time, learn. Like, you know, Shkaya. So I don't like learning. I have difficulty learning. You know. So what now? What? So I'm a nobody. That's not true. You're finding somebody as a little slice of life. There's a lot more to life than these years. But in a kid's mind, this is the most important thing right now. He doesn't see the rest of his life. Like, he doesn't see tomorrow, this kid. He doesn't see the rest of his life. So we have to find a way to get the message across.